Hello, and welcome to this month's edition of Sports Nutrition Update. SNU provides each of our listeners with current information on a wide variety of topics related to health, athletic performance, fitness, and nutrition. On track one, Corey will provide his commentary adapted from international journals, clinical articles, and the Certified Sports Nutrition Advisor Home Study Education Program. On track two, he will be joined by Tracy Hawley on He Said, She Said for her perspective on topics related to women's health, relationships, and raising healthy children. Track 3 features an interview with our special guest who will share their expertise and experience in the healthcare, fitness, and sports nutrition field. Here is Corey Hawley and this month's presentation of Sports Nutrition Update.
Hello everyone, and welcome to Sports Nutrition Update, November 2003. Last month I talked about somatotyping and how the body can be classified according to physical appearance, body shape, and metabolism. I also spent some time reviewing principles of nutrition and exercise related to the ectomorph body type. Ectomorphs are known as hard gainers and find it very difficult to gain body mass and muscle size. In this edition of Clinical Review, I'd like to examine another aspect of body type and function called chronobiology. Chronobiology is a relatively new and unknown science. It includes the investigation and study of rhythmic patterns established in biological phenomena. These patterns influence our mood and emotions, as well as our strength, speed, and athletic ability. In addition to identifying the cause and nature of these rhythmic patterns, which generally occur in cycles, chronobiology attempts to understand the influence of these patterns on physiological, psychomotor, cognitive, and psycho-emotional functions. Genetic predisposition, lifestyle, age, and nutrition also influence these rhythmic patterns. Thus, there is great variation in individual chronotype among different cross-sections of people. Every pattern established within a living organism is a function of homeostasis. Balance of mind and body is maintained in cycles that rise and fall like the sun and the moon, and fluctuate back and forth like the ebb and flow of the ocean's tide. Energy levels, mood, digestive function, memory, and hunger all express themselves with differences in terms of intensity and quality, but they tend to follow definite rhythmic patterns. Certain moods tend to vary day by day. One morning you feel strong and can't wait to get to the gym. The next day you feel sluggish, and as evening approaches, your energy fades and motivation to train is diminished. The question is, why? It has been said that timing is everything. Planning events in unison with our chronotype appears to be a reasonable concept. This includes developing a training schedule that works with rather than against inherent patterns established by our sleep-wake cycle, which is the principal driving force behind chronotype. One specific subset of chronotype is defined by circadian rhythm. Circadian rhythms regulate biological cycles in 24-hour intervals. Variations in hormone circulation and blood pressure, for example, are measured in circadian rhythmic patterns, while other aspects of human function and physiology are consistently shorter or longer. Our sleep cycle takes approximately 90 minutes to complete. Thus, it is defined as an ultradian cycle. Ultradian rhythms are defined by cycles that occur in 20 hours or less. Infradian rhythms are defined by cyclic patterns that recur over periods in excess of 28 hours. Patterns of infection, colds, or depressed immune function represent seasonal patterns or infradian rhythms that vary consistently throughout the year in certain individuals. Exposure to an infectious pathogen at the wrong time of the month or year, when susceptibility to infection is higher because the system is down, could spell disaster and delayed training progress. It could mean the difference between gold and a silver medalist for the Olympic athlete, or no medal at all. Whereas exposure to the same microbe or virus at a different time, when immune function is heightened and the system is up, would lead to no sign of infection and no evidence of illness at all. It is therefore conceivable to associate the so-called blah days and super strong days with more than just overtraining syndromes or references to the fact that we must be burnt out or emotionally distraught because of some stressful event going on in our lives. Individual patterns and chronological rhythms are characterized by peaks and valleys that can be logged and quantified. It's like rafting down a river. Water always seeks the pathway of least resistance and is subject to the law of gravity, which explains why every river twists and turns on its way down to the sea from higher ground. The water may be calm at one moment, and then around the bend it shifts into a pattern of turbulence. Chronobiological patterns function like a river running through us with a definite direction and current, and as this internal river changes in speed and direction, it often overrides our best laid plans. Although our intentions are good, on certain days or in a certain portion of the day, our energy and motivational state may not be exactly what we expect or want it to be. And now we know why. The Elliott Savas Sleep Questionnaire for Athletes was developed to help athletes assess their individual chronotype. This questionnaire identifies three body types or time patterns of chronotype. According to the system, each of us can be classified as an early bird, a night owl, or a neutral type. It is based on the fact that wake-up time has the most influence for synchronizing all circadian rhythms, and because wake-up time is something we have control over, we can influence positive change in circadian synchronization. You can't always control when you fall asleep, but by controlling when you wake up, you can reset your biological time clock. Early birds are physically and mentally alert in the morning. They find it difficult to stay up late, but in the morning, they are energized and robust. Early birds get the worm, but because they tend to crash relatively early, they are sometimes perceived as party poopers. Night owls are slow to rise and function best in the afternoon and late evening. They like to sleep in and wake up slowly. Night owls definitely perform better in the evening and tend to function well with peak metabolism in the later portion of the day. Training too early makes a night owl susceptible to injury. They also recover from strenuous exercise more efficiently when they perform in the afternoon or evening. Neutral types are ACDC. They tend to operate best in the middle of the day between extremes. At the upper and lower segment of the time spectrum, when awake, they are not compromised in any specific way, but they tend to function best at peak level between early morning and late evening. Peak time is when we feel our best. Physiological, psychomotor, cognitive, and psycho-emotional patterns are efficient and smooth. Metabolic rate is efficient and the mind is clear. Life is good and you're ready to take on the world. Downtime means we're in the valley or in a trough. This time is characterized by inefficiency, sluggishness, depressed immune function, negative or grumpy moods, and stiffness. In this state, the last thing you want to do is train. By nature, we feel the need for time to elapse so we can shake off the cobwebs, connect with the environment, and face the day. During a period of downtime, the body or mind generally wants to rest or sleep. Therefore, choosing a time to train hard or exercise with intensity, which ignores downtime, controlled by chronobiological rhythms, could prove to be disastrous. The net effect is to desynchronize the body, resulting in increased risk of injury, illness, and even mortality. Competition schedules don't always coincide with individual peak time, so athletes are forced to get motivated regardless, especially professional athletes, under pressure with big money contracts and their entire career on the line. This is why some athletes are forced to use stimulants and other artificial methods to pick themselves up, and why in the long run, they often burn out. The other alternative is to alter one's sleep cycle intentionally by controlling wake-up time with an alarm clock and eating meals according to a fixed schedule, especially the evening meal. This helps to offset the resynchronization effect of an erratic lifestyle. Optimum nutrition also favors homeostatic adaptation and provides the body with the biochemical wherewithal to withstand environmental change, variance in time zones, and irregular practice and training periods. We've learned that exercise performance is definitely influenced by chronobiological rhythm. Having knowledge of our chronotype is important as it can help us to select the most opportune time to exercise if we have the luxury of that privilege. Our capacity to train with intensity and move with ease, as well as our ability to adapt and pick up new skills, is a function of our individual chronotype. Even the likelihood of sticking to an exercise program is controlled, in part, by rhythms established from within the domain of sleep-wake cycles and hormonal, natural steroid, and neurotransmitter release patterns. Most physiological variables that affect human performance demonstrate predictable rhythmic variability throughout any given 24-hour period. Plasma testosterone levels, for example, tend to peak early in the morning, and it's no coincidence that male hormonal responses to resistance training are almost always strongest in the morning. Studies that have compared the effects of weight training on testosterone release indicate that testosterone elevates more so following a morning workout compared to workouts performed in the afternoon or evening. This suggests that for best results long-term, and depending upon one's individual chronotype, certain individuals should definitely train in the morning before noon if strength or mass is their primary objective. However, strength performance when tested, as opposed to the actual training for strength, is usually greater later in the day due to increased body temperature. Variation in temperature also affects flexibility and susceptibility to injury. That's why we're all taught to warm up before intense exercise, especially in the early morning. Body temperature tends to increase throughout the afternoon and early evening, and then decreases in the evening during sleep. Upon wakening, temperature progressively increases, thus physiological rhythms definitely do influence performance-related factors, including strength, endurance, flexibility, and power. Reaction time and coordination are defined as psychomotor rhythms which influence the acquisition and development of skill. High levels of skill and ability can only be accomplished through repetitive, continuous action and constant practice. Therefore, understanding the nature of biological rhythms that affect psychomotor function can help athletes choose the best time of day to practice the skill set of their sport versus training for strength in the gym or sprinting to improve speed and quickness. Cognitive rhythms influence our capacity to remember, the assimilation of information, and attention span. Cognition is essential to a clear mind and sharp mental focus. This faculty of the brain is associated with keen awareness and perception, the sensation of knowing, and even the intuitive process that some athletes depend on to guide them through their athletic experience. Psycho-emotional rhythms affect the quality of our actual experience. These rhythms influence how we feel when playing our favorite sport, how we feel regarding our performance after the fact, and influence the excitement and anticipation of competition. Most of the evidence gathered by observing athletes over the age of 40 and especially over the age of 60 suggests that the best time to train is early in the morning, such as around 6 to 8 a.m. Joints are less stiff, the mind is more alert, cortisol levels are at their natural peak, and both reaction time and balance is better. Less lactate is produced in the morning when compared to the same exercise performed in the afternoon or evening. Analysis of cognitive rhythms suggests that short-term memory is stronger in the early morning, whereas long-term memory peaks in the early afternoon. Of course, this doesn't apply to everyone, Regardless of age, many individuals will find training in the latter portion of the day to be either more effective or more convenient. First and foremost, the prime directive is to train, because exercise and physical activity provides resistance to premature aging and decay and offsets sarcopenia. The next step is to select the best time. Rate of perceived exertion is higher in the early morning, meaning exercise is considered more difficult. Mood tends to peak in the later evening, and mood is vital because it affects motivation, attention, effort, and interest. An older person also has chronobiological rhythms characterized by less sleep overall, plus their sleep patterns are usually fragmented. Thus, they tend to manifest multiple peaks and valleys throughout the day, as opposed to the usual two peaks and downtimes experienced daily by younger people. Chronotyping is an exciting new way of assessing individual response to exercise. It helps us to establish ideal training times, and this insight can improve adherence to exercise, improve athletic performance, and minimize potential risk or damage to muscle tissue, joints, or the heart. Chronobiological science reminds us about our connection to the earth and our environment by providing evidence of specific rhythms and patterns which flow throughout the mind and body. Yes, we can ignore these rhythms and resist for a time. And in the short term, we will experience a sense of dominance, independence, and control. But in the long run, resistance is futile. Well, that's it for this segment of SNU. Thanks for listening. And here's a quote from Marcus Aurelius, the Roman emperor. "Nothing happens to any man that he is not formed by nature to bear."